Can I say something before I begin? I do not charge God foolishly for what he has allowed in my life. I look at it and I count it as what Jacob did in wrestling with the angel, and he walked differently from that time on. And it left a mark in his life. And while it was a very difficult time and probably the most difficult of my life, God works it for my good. Amen. So I want to thank the Lord for all that he has done for me and what he is going to do for me. Amen. So I want to speak concerning, it's a little change in the focus from this morning. This morning we wanted to focus on the greatness of God and us honoring God, and I still want to weave into our thoughts this afternoon of how we honor God, how those honored God that were examples to us in the scriptures, New Testament. We're going to focus more on the New Testament. So this afternoon, I want to start in, actually, as far as I could determine in the study, because there's conflict in ideas and opinions of these three examples. But nonetheless, I feel that these three examples in the New Testament coordinate. And whether they were the same person or not, the scripture does not make that clear. So we're going to be referring to the 26th chapter. I don't know if you can even follow with me reading, because I've taken the three examples and combined them together from three different reports. And so it's Matthew 26 and Luke 7 and Mark the 14th chapter. So it's hard for me to give you exact verses, but they all come from those three chapters. And we're going to talk about an alabaster box. We're going to talk about what honor came from the event that involved an alabaster box. So it's important for us to understand, maybe to an extent, when it notes how many days it was that this took place concerning Jesus before the Passover, because it distinctively identifies then where it took place, who it was involved with. Yes. So in this particular event, taken from those three chapters, it was 2 days before the Feast of the Passover, which was just before Jesus was crucified. So if you just sort of keep that in mind, not necessarily it's important, but it's going to relate then to the next event that we give. So Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper. Now in one of the, it just simply says he was a Pharisee. But the connection was still there, identifying the same place, the same people, Simon the leper. Now, Simon the leper should have been one that really desired to show honor to Jesus. But according to some of the words of these events, he slipped in just a little bit of doubt. And I think that it will come out in our reading. So while Jesus was at the house of the Simon the leper, behold, a woman, which was a sinner, When she knew Jesus sat at meat in his house, in this house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, very expensive perfume, one of the Gospels says. Now, in one of the Gospels, it says that she poured it over his head. The other two reports it pretty much the same as to how she did it. But she stood at his feet behind him, weeping. She began to wash his feet with her tears. And she did wipe them with her hair. The scripture says she even kissed his feet. I don't know. This is just such an intimate scene that it's hard to really place an opinion on it. Maybe if you and I were in her place that we had... It does not say what sins that she had committed. It just said she was a sinner.
Yes.
One of the Gospels said she was a great sinner. But she felt something that caused her to perform in this way. She was definitely very sorry for her sins. She knew she wouldn't have gone to Jesus if she didn't believe that he was the Son of God and that he could forgive sins. She wouldn't have done this. But she has humbled herself. Now, the normal way of them sitting at a... They sat on the floor. Maybe it was in the form like on their knees and their feet was out back. One of the commentaries explains it that way. So she's behind him. She's not looking him in the eye. She is humbling herself in the only way that she knows. And her tears and her allowing her tears to cover his feet and then kissing his feet denoted it was not an sensual thing. I mean, we don't want to allow our minds in this day and time to turn to this scene and presume upon something that is unholy. This was something that was very holy. So she anointed his feet then with this ointment. Now Simon, now this is where Simon comes in. He talked to himself. He spake to himself and he said, if this man, if he were a prophet, he didn't say anything about if he was the Son of God. He said, if he was a prophet, he would know who and what manner this woman is, for she is a sinner.
Yes.
You know, he was condemning her. And possibly he even felt like that she was out of place to be able to even touch his body.
Mm.
Jesus perceived what Simon was thinking. Can we insert here just a little bit? Just a little caution and a little warning to us, because we can be judgmental. We can observe some things and think we know the truth about it.
Mm-hmm.
And we can place a judgment. We may never utter it. Mm-hmm. But Jesus perceived it.
Yes.
And he perceives it also if you and I slip over into a judgmental attitude. Let us always carry in our hearts forgiveness. We can't forgive others' sins, but we can reach a hand to them of love, can't we? Can't we minister in some way to those about us that we might be saying, oh, they're taking a wrong path?
Mm-hmm.
So that's just a little insert right there. But Jesus said unto Simon, he said, Simon, There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. One owed 500 pence and the other 50. When they had nothing to pay, he forgave them both. Tell me, Simon, which of them will love him the most? Oh, isn't this quite a question?
Yes.
Simon said, I suppose he to whom he forgave the most. And Jesus said, Thou hast rightly judged. I entered into thine house, and thou gave me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears. Now there's a lot more that can be read in that in the scriptures. I'm cutting it down just a little bit. But you get the idea, you get the picture. Simon didn't wash his feet or provide for the cleansing or washing. And that was a common practice of hospitality.
Yes.
When you entered the house, they because they were in a dusty land.
Right.
And their feet were dusty.
Yes.
And but he didn't do that. But this woman came in, and through the grief and sorrow and repentance of her heart, shed the tears and washed his feet. He said, but thou gave me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears. This woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. And there's more that's in the scripture about that. I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven.
Thank God.
For she loved much. And he said unto the woman, thy sins are forgiven. Now that's just a combination of those three gospels. So now we'll read between the lines just a little bit. Here's a woman that had to have had some money, because this was a very expensive perfume. Now, if you study it out and you look it up in the commentaries, you'll find that it says that it would the cost of this ointment in our money would be $30,000.
Wow.
It wasn't just $20. It was a large amount of money. She had to give, whether it hurt her financially or whether she was well off and could afford it, I don't know. But she was giving her best.
Yes.
She was wanting to honor him and pursue him with all of her heart. She wanted him to really know that she meant business. Have you ever come before the Lord and you really meant business?
Yes.
You didn't want to leave until you had the blessing yourself, until you had what you came for? Have you ever done that? I have. There's been times that we seek the Lord, and when what does the scripture say? When we do it with our whole heart. She was doing this with her whole heart.
Yes.
And when you and I seek him with our whole heart, we'll find him.
Yes.
He will be there. He will manifest himself to us. He will meet us. He will do that which we ask of him.
Yes.
Are you needing something great? Honor the Lord.
Yes.
Honor him. And when I say this, I'm not talking about money, but honor him with your substance. Money is one thing. I believe God wants us to honor him even in our material things. But when I say honor him with your substance, I'm saying do it with your whole heart. We have an adversary.
True.
You will never leave this world without meeting with your adversary.
That's right.
Every day.
That's right.
We know what the scripture says, and it says that the devil knoweth he hath but a short time. Well, that's been in the scriptures all of these thousands of years, but it means something more today, because we are closer to the coming of the Lord than ever before. Does that mean I know when? No, and you don't either. And Jesus doesn't even know, and the angels don't even know, but God knows. And he knows that the time is drawing nigh because of what the scripture says about the coming of the Lord and the prophecies of the signs of the time. You and I have been able all of our life to read and identify and use, and the generations before us did too. They knew the scriptures. They knew what it said over in Daniel. They knew what it said in Revelations. They knew what Jesus said in his own revelations to the disciples when they said, when will be your return? When will be the end of time? They had those questions. We have those questions. And only God knows. I don't know. I'm going to give this anyway, just as a little insert, because we're still going to go back to the alabaster box. In Revelations and in Daniel, both of them, being at different times of history, receiving from heaven the revelations of the end of time, both of them received something that had they printed it, possibly we wouldn't have believed it. It was something, now this is my opinion, I'm not putting it out that it says this in the word, I'm just judging it. I believe that God revealed something to Daniel and to John that we could have identified a little bit closer the coming of the Lord had it been printed. Does that make sense? Because it was said to both of them, nearly the same words, seal it up. Seal it up. Don't print it. Both of them were given that instructions. So therefore, it is up to me to be alert and aware and observant concerning the signs of the time. It is up to me to be able to intelligently look into history. Can you do that? Can you observe history? Those things that say two generations before, many generations before, there were wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and pestilence and all of those things that Jesus said would come to pass, and those generations experienced those things. And so they would say, oh, it's near the coming of the Lord. Was it near the coming of the Lord for them? It was still to cause them to seek God for themselves, because they were going to be meeting the Lord. But there is coming a day of the Lord. And it will be the end of time. And so when Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Lord. All you have to do is read about Noah. You find out what were the signs. We look around, we have for years. We've said, oh, it's got to be listen, the ministry in 1960 and 70s, all you have to do is get online and listen to them. They were looking for the coming of the Lord then. Yes. The truth is, the disciples were looking for the coming of the Lord as soon as Jesus went away. Yes. So there's always been those expecting the end of time and the coming of the Lord. And then Jesus gave another example. Look, He said, as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. Mm-hmm. Now you and I will take that and we'll immediately focus our attention on what?
Immorality.
But there was another warning there. Part of it was in the days of Noah. They were eating and drinking and marrying and given in marriage. That's in both. But in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, they were buying and selling and doing business up to the day that the fire came down. And that should send us a caution now. We are going to have to stay focused on our goal for heaven.
Yes.
On our wanting to be, how shall I say this? Wanting the Lord to be supreme in our affections, in our desires. And as the Sunday school lesson this morning, you know, everyone is going to have to work to support their family. You have to.
Yes.
You're commanded by the word of the Lord to do that. It says if you don't, you're worse than an infidel.
Amen.
So that's a commandment of the Lord. And yet it's an earthly thing. But we've got to keep the balance.
Yes.
And we've got to still keep focused on the greatness of God. And how that I need to keep him utmost and foremost in my heart, in my mind, in my spirit. You've heard me tell this before that, you know, when I got saved and how that I was so miserable in my salvation and because Lorne wasn't saved and I'd given God up for him for so many times. And we were on a camping trip and I was so miserable. And I was by myself in the camper one day and I was crying out to the Lord saying, Lord, I can't live this way. I've got to have something more. And the Spirit of the Lord came down in that camper and God spoke very plainly to me. And he said, you can love Lorne all you want. Just love me the most. That's the secret. We love our companions. We love our family. We love. It's good to love. God is love. He wants us to be filled with the love of God. But love him the most. Keep him foremost and frontmost and whatever else other word that might fit there. Don't lose sight of your express relationship with God for yourself. Now, I won't be able to turn and read this, but I have it in my phone. I keep it in my phone all the time, and it's an Old Testament scripture. And in that particular passage, it says this three different times. And it says, except these three men be in the land, they can but save their own souls. Now that's one of them. The other two include, they cannot save their children. They can but save their own souls. Now those three men were Noah, Job, and Daniel, I believe. Three different men from three different ages. Godly, honorable men. Men that not only honored God, but they were honored of God. And the writer there is giving these three honorable, righteous men and saying to you and me, you've got to be honorable and righteous. You've got to honor God. You've got to. You can only save yourself. In the end, there is nobody that can speak for you or testify for you or stand up for you. It will be you standing before God for you. How important then is it for you to have this adoration, this true passion? Are we passionate? I can only answer for myself. I think I have lacked passion in the last. It's been a contest. Maybe it's contested. Your passion for living for God and for following Him. I think it's a contest. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to have to. Well, I know when I was working in the school, and I've told this before many times, but it fits here. I could look over at my students and I could tell their minds were 1,000 miles away. Mm-hmm. It wasn't on their schoolwork. And I would say, call their name, draw your mind in. Well, I've heard that they've said that they'll remember me by those words. You know what? We need to say those words to ourselves. Amen. There's so many things out there that I can get my mind on, and I'm not pointing a finger at anyone else, because I know it's part of today.
Yeah.
Distractions. And I've got to be responsible for my own distractions. I've got to be awake and alert. I've got to be sensitive. Are we sensitive when we feel ourselves growing a little cool? What does the scripture say? It says that I want you to be hot or cold. But I don't want you to be lukewarm. Because He says, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Listen, let's stir ourselves and pray and seek God and say, Lord, put a fire in me. Help me to be awake and alert. Help me to be sensitive to the things of God and to my own spirit. Help me to realize when I'm starting to lose a little bit of that heat.
Yes.
Lord, help us. So there's a reason why this is such an important account, that somebody was so sorry for their sins that they went beyond what the normal person would do. There wasn't anybody else. Well, we're going to do one more. But it wasn't because of sin. So it wasn't the normal thing that was done when somebody repented of their sins. But this person meant business. She meant business. So now we're going to... I want to tell you what else the Lord said about this woman. Because in one of the Gospels, you know, it says, that was such a waste. Why wasn't that sold and given to the poor? And Jesus said, you have the poor with you all the time.
Right.
But you don't have me with you.
Right.
You won't have me with you. And here's what He said. He said, this woman hath wrought a good work upon me. Now, in both this account and the next one we're going to read, both of them, Jesus said this was done for His burial. In preparing His body for His burial,
yes,
because there wouldn't have been time when He was buried. The women didn't come until after the Sabbath to take the spices and things. Normally, it would have been done before. So Jesus is saying, He's recognizing this is another purpose, and she doesn't even know it. She wants to repent of her sins, but I'm about to be killed. And there will be no time for my body to be prepared. And so he says, this is done for my burial. Now this is the other thing that was said of this woman. It says, furthermore, Jesus said, furthermore, wheresoever the gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also be this, that this woman hath done, what this woman hath done will be told for a memorial for her. You know what I thought when I read that? Because I've read that many times and you have too. I believe that she never gave up. That the work, she was saved to the uttermost. Yeah. Now that's what my opinion is. Because if it was to be a memorial and preached wherever it was in the world, it was to say, this woman made heaven. Now, if you make heaven, would you like to go meet her? She gave her all. You know, we can link this up just a little bit with the parables that Jesus gave when he said there was a field and there was treasure that was buried in that field. And this person was wanting to buy a field and found out that there was treasure. And they went and sold everything that they had and went and bought that field. They gave it all because they knew that treasure was for them. Oh, there's some parables in there that we need to consider. It links up with what this woman did. If the price is equal to what it says, $30,000, what could you buy for $30,000? Oh, I want to tell you, we need to honor him. The truth is, did he not give his all? He did. He gave his whole life. His life's blood. If you study and look and read, you'll find that in the atonement, he bore the stripes on his back. They were not little stripes from a switch. They weren't even a stripe from a belt. They opened his flesh and the blood came out. And the Lord showed this to me. A fountain of blood that reaches to us today and for the healing of our body, mind, soul, spirit. And then he went to the cross and gave his life and he said, it's finished. And then he went to the grave and then he ascended. He came resurrected and then he ascended. And all of that was a high price. He gave his all. And this woman gave her all to have the salvation. Oh, let us value the salvation that he has given to us. Let us not only value the salvation, but let's value the Holy Spirit that he sent to sanctify us and to cleanse us and to give us the power and to teach us and lead us and guide us into all truth. He gave it all. Now we're going to the next one. It's John 12 and 1 through 3. And then we'll refer to other parts. Jesus was come to Bethany again. Same town. Both places. Simon the leper lived in Bethany. But who else lived in Bethany? Lazarus. Martha. Mary. They lived in Bethany also. This time it is 6 days before the Passover. How many days was the other one before the Passover?
Two.
It was closer to his death than this one. But now we know, according to the scriptures, that Jesus had a special relationship with Mary and Martha and Lazarus.
Yes.
Have you perceived that?
Yes.
He called them his friends. And we know the account that in chapter 11, this is chapter 12, in chapter 11, the brother, Lazarus, gets sick. And they send for Jesus. And he delays. You remember that song that says, 4 days late and still on time?
Yes.
This is where it came from. Jesus purposed, we'll go in a few days. And he gets there and he knows that Lazarus is already buried, has been buried 4 days. And Martha meets him out there. And you know what her first words were? Oh, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.
True, yes.
And he tries to comfort her and encourage her. And then Mary comes out to him and she says the same thing. Their hope was dashed, but was their hope resurrected? Oh, listen, how would you feel if you had a loved one that was buried 4 days and came back to life? Somebody that you loved so dearly and you desired it so much. Wouldn't you be happy?
Amen.
Wouldn't you shed tears of joy? Yes. So that's what happened. And this particular event was 2 months after Lazarus has been resurrected. So they've had their brother back for 2 months. A commentary says that this was a farewell visit because Jesus knew his time was close. Now that's a commentary. I have no reason to doubt that comment because he loved them. And they loved Jesus. So the scripture says, Jesus was come to Bethany, where Lazarus was raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. Do you think Martha was complaining this time? No, she wasn't. She learned her lesson. She learned that Mary chose the best part. But yet Martha was a server. And so the scripture says she served here and she does not complain. And Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Now, wouldn't that be something? Here is the one that's been dead 4 days and he's alive and well and perfectly normal. And he's sitting at the table with the others. Now, here's the other part. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. So here it is again. The sacrifice. The cost didn't mean anything. How much does the cost mean to us? And I'm not talking about money. Oh, let's give our all.
Yes, Lord.
Jesus gave his all. And these two examples did not draw back. And I want you to know I'm talking to myself too. So she wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment, and I want us to consider the odor of our life. You know, if we are giving our all, there'll be a smell that will come out of our life, and I'm not talking about the perfume that you put on your body after you take a bath or something. I'm not talking about that. There will be a note of the kind of spirit that you are manifesting. If you have been alone with Jesus in your closet, if you found that time that was precious, If you've given of yourself, something will radiate from your life. And it said that the smell or the odor filled the house. Don't you know that you have a house?
Yes.
I have a house. I have family. I've said it to you over and over. If you do not pray for your family, who will? If you do not carry a burden for your lost loved ones, who will? That's your house. May the odor of your life permeate your house. May it permeate the house of God. When you come for Wednesday night prayer meeting, that your testimony is more than the uttering of my mouth. It's the life that I walk in with. It's the odor that is going out from my life, and others are perceiving it and they're smelling it. Oh, it won't be a specific odor that I can smell, but I can tell you one thing. The scriptures speaks about the prayers of the saints coming up before God as a sweet incense. I believe when we are calling on the Lord in our prayer life, do you have a prayer life? Oh, we can read the Bible, but I'm telling you, you got to have it balanced with prayer.
Yes, that's right.
You got to be calling on the Lord. I'm not so sure it's not more prayer than it is reading. I just know that God is... the word of the Lord is God speaking to me. But when I pray, I'm speaking to Him. And He's listening. And He will turn His attention toward us. But oh, I want the odor of our lives to permeate the congregation, the church of God, the family of God. Thank the Lord. Of course, that's when Judas Iscariot also said, why shouldn't this have been sold and given to the poor? Now we have 132. What hath the Lord done for thee?
Yes.
When I was laden in sin, what did He do? Oh, I want you to turn over there and just read and say, that's my testimony. He gave it to me, and I want to give it back to Him. Thank the Lord. That's our little thought this afternoon. May the Lord bless us, each one. That number one, don't forget how great God is. Don't forget what God has done for you. And give Him your all.
Yes.
Thank the Lord.